Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Richard Jennings!
Nice to see you. I just came back. I left LA for a while. I wasn't on business. I just wanted to smoke a cigarette. So, can't do that here. That's a big sin here. Earthquake doesn't scare us here. Fire, don't care. Riots, that happens. Doesn't bother us. Is that a cigarette? Run! 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 It's a cigarette right in our house. I feel faint. Someone get me a pasta salad and a motivational cassette tape. Right in our home. And here's the sick thing about that. Cigarette smoking? Disgusting. Cigar smoking? Totally hip. Women are smoking cigars. Women smoking cigars. God bless them. I love that. Whenever I'm in an intimate situation with a gal, I want her to remind me as much of Edward G. Robinson as possible. You want a gal and a matey going, all right, this is the way it's going to be, see? I want you to take off my bra and pinch my nipples, but not too hard. Don't get carried away, Buster. And then at the end, you hear what I'm telling you? And I don't want to get pregnant, so don't get nuts. You hear what I'm saying? You pull it out at the end. Scram, scram. Or you'll get yours. So that's why I flew back here. It wasn't a good airline. Let's just say it rhymes with Wontinental. And I was on the airline. All they talk about is dying. In the unlikely event of a water landing, you can use your seat as a flotation device. Yeah. You know, if you take the right drugs, you can use your vomit bag as a golf club. Let's be honest. I think once that plane noses into the ocean on fire, the flight's pretty much over. You know what I mean? If the plane goes... You're not going to grab the seat. Well, this is inconvenient. Well, I hope there's another plane floating by. What are you looking at? Shut up, I'm late. And use your seat as a float device. I want to walk in there, open the curtains, grab the mic from the pilot.
Don't listen to this guy. If the plane hits the water, we're dead. We can float without a seat. The one thing that dead people are good at is floating in the water, and they're wasting money buying them cushions. Save the money and let's get a pilot that knows how to land this thing.
They always try and soften it by saying unlikely. In the unlikely event of a loss of pressure, in the unlikely event of a fire. And I'm always sitting back there eating little peanuts going, you know, if it's that unlikely, it hardly seems worth bringing it up and scaring the pants out of everybody. It's just cruel. For that matter, you may as well bring up every horrifying thing that's unlikely. You just want to abuse people. Hi, this is the captain. In the unlikely event that I should run bare-ass through the main compartment, wearing a World War I Kaiser helmet, singing clang, clang, clang went the trolley, the drinks are on me. You know, if you just want to be rude, you know. Hi, this is the captain. You know, in the unlikely event that I'm not really an airline pilot, but a psycho has the actual captain tied to a barca lounger in the garage, I'll be pointing every one of you toward the ground. In the unlikely event you should survive impact and need to eat your fellow passengers for sustenance, may I suggest the fat guy in 43J with a nice Chardonnay. In the unlikely event of a real emergency, James Earl Jones will be on the plane saying, Mother of God. The best airline flight is to Miami. Miami! They make all the announcements twice. For your convenience, we have air sickness bags. And then a very happy Hispanic person. El receptacle es de barfo. Toso un cuquiamos en el bago de hivo in front of your face. I'm paraphrasing because I don't really speak fluent Spanish, but that's the law. Every announcement has to be made, even if the plane is crashing. Oh my God, we're crashing. Por favor, kiss your ass. Buenas noches. Please kiss your ass. Buenas noches at this time. Have your dental records handy. It's the big enchilada. Gotta love living in LA. I live in the carjacking capital of America. Nice. I'm at the point I'm driving with the club on. I can only go straight, but safety first. That's my attitude. The good news about living here is that if you stay up really late, you can get some great cable TV. 4 a.m, they have everything you ever want. It turns out there is a cure for baldness. They just don't talk about it during the day. Every two channels is a guy with a baldness cure. I'm flipping around. Ben, are you afraid one day your wife will be running her fingers through your hair and you won't be home? Well... $79 for this toupee, and you can swim with it on. There's the guy. One-handed swim. One on a toupee. Two channels over. Click. There's a guy who sprays hair out of an aerosol can. Carrying it on like he invented the light bulb, this character. Shh, it's amazing. Shh, it's unbelievable. And you're going, it's paint, if I'm not mistaken. You're painting your head, Thomas Edison. I could have thought of that one. And he has the nerve to look right into the camera and go, your girlfriend will never know that you sprayed a bunch of black stuff all over your head. And I'm always going, well, why buy it? You know, if your girlfriend is that much of a doorknob, she doesn't realize you have suddenly Dutch boyed your skull black. Save the cash, folks. I mean, you could fool that woman with anything on your head. You could have antlers and throw her off. Are you sure it's not a different hairstyle? It's the same hair I've always had. Are you sure? Absolutely. I just moosted it all. Women always laugh harder at the hair loss stuff. Why? Look around the room. No bald women. Why is that? Because guys, could you could be really nice to your hair if you're a guy? Falls right out. Women do stuff to their heads shouldn't happen to the side of a recreational vehicle. And they never go bald. What are you doing to your hair, honey? Ripping, smooshing, hairing, mushing, and the hair's like, whatever, I'm here for you. Me, I roll down my car window. Why is that? Why do women not go bald and men do? It's a mystery that nobody will ever be able to figure out. Lucky for you, I'm not busy during the day and I've been working on it. Using the old syllogism method of reasoning I learned when I was in college. Study political science. I go, what do I do now? They go, you can teach political science. I go, to who? They go, some other people. I go, but what will they do? And they go, well, they'll teach it to some other people. And you go, hey, this is in college. This is Amway with a track team. What is this? I spent $40,000 on a pyramid scheme. But I learned the syllogism method of reasoning in college. It's a great thing to know. If the first two statements are true, the last one has to be true. And it's great because you could just sit in your dorm, get high, and make up true stuff all day. And the example is this. God is love. Underneath that, love is blind. So it follows Ray Charles is God. Exactly. Now, we use the same method. We find out, one, men are from the planet Earth and going bald. Two, women aren't losing any hair at all. Therefore, we've proven women have come from another planet with the cure for baldness. Just go with me on this for a minute. It explains a lot of mysterious female behavior. It explains why they've been disappearing to the ladies' room 10, 20, 30 of them when only one of them is doing anything. Because that's where they have their meetings. The one place no guy is ever allowed in, the center of their entire interplanetary operation. It explains why when the bathroom door opens to the ladies' room, you see a couch. And if you're a guy, you're going, why don't we get a couch? Because you're not having a meeting, you don't need a couch. You got all the way in, you see the whole operation. Fax machines, telephones, satellite dishes, baldness cures, God knows what else. And if you still don't believe me, ask yourself this. Why is the security very tight in the ladies' room and not in the men's room? We have nothing to hide. Women can get in the men's bathroom anytime they want. Every once in a while, the woman will get drunk and wander into the men's room, and what happens, fellas? A hero's welcome. Never have you seen a more cordial group of guys as when a drunken woman bumbles into their bathroom by accident. Every once in a while, a woman will, I'm sorry, guys, I didn't realize every guy, hey, hey, how are you? Oh, by all means, come in. Guys, come on out of there. 20 guys with their pants down. Ba-na-na-na-na-na. There's a woman in the bathroom, soap and toilet paper for all my men. And it's fun and cordial. You ever walk in the ladies' room by accident? Oh, good luck. You get about 2 inches in there, you go, oh, I'm sorry, ladies, I didn't realize. Rapist, pervert! On watch. A few steps more, you would have had the cure. Get him out. So since the cure is in there and you can't get in, it would seem that the cause is lost forever. But again, I am determined and not busy during the day. You can sneak into your girlfriend's bathroom and look around for clues. That's what I did. Got a flashlight and a notepad. Dun, 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 dun. Wrote down the names of all of the little creams and tubes and cosmetics and came up with a clue. Based on the names of most of the tubes, creams, and cosmetics in the average woman's bathroom, the reason they came here in the first place is because they need something in unbelievable daily amounts, and that thing is moisture. They need moisture. Every one of those products has to do with replacing woman moisture that is steaming out of them at an unbelievable daily rate. They came from a drying planet. And the older they get, the more desperate the situation is. According to most TV commercials on in the middle of the day. If you're 30, you need extra moisture. 40, whoa, were you dry. What are you, 60? Get in the tub, lady. Put your head under the water. Breathe through a straw. You're a tinderbox. You can cross your legs and go up like a Roman candle. So, she sees me touching her stuff. She comes in. What are you doing? I grab the blow dryer. Back off or I'll dry you right now. Your little game's up. You don't care about me. You just want to be moist. You're a bigger moron than I thought. If you're worried about your hair, try some of my cream rinse and conditioner. What's that? Let me take a look at that. All right, conditioning cream rinse for women. Always some weird ingredients. Water, alcohol, bananas, strawberries, moose urine, eye of newt, plasma. What the hell is this? Swordfish? What the? Put it on your head in the wash shower. Leave it on your head. Don't get any water on it, even though you're in a shower. If you're a guy, you can't do it. After a minute, there's nothing else to do. You're standing there looking at a watch going, 4 minutes to go. Guess I can wash my ass again. That'll kill off a couple more minutes. Women can do it because they're in their bathroom and 5 minutes is nothing. They haven't even picked up the soap yet. Still doing their pre-shower warm-up routine. While the stuff is there, there's a lot of maintenance activities. Shaving, plucking, mowing, sandblasting. There's things happening. So she comes out of her bathroom, I come out of mine, and I go, aha, now I know she's an alien. She's wearing the symbol of their whole secret society, a complicated knot with a towel on the top of the head. That's how they know each other, because no guy knows how to make that knot. They tried to make it once, they found me hanging from the shower nozzle. Come to think of it, I've never even seen it being made, have you? They just come out of the bathroom, blast of fog, Gundy. Whoa. They have all these record offers late at night. They ask you if you want to buy this stuff, too. They actually are polite about it. How would you like to? How much would you expect to pay? Wait, don't answer. Like I'm actually talking to the guy. How much? Well, wait, sorry. Every song from the 50s, the 70s, they're getting bigger. I think I saw a guy the other night all caffeined out. How would you like to own every song ever recorded since the beginning of time? That's right. This 16 billion record collection is brought to your home in 44 moving vans over the course of 16 years. You get happy birthday to you. I'm on a highway over hill. That's right. Every song ever recorded. How much would you expect to pay? Wait, don't answer. If you order now, you get the original cross that Christ was crucified on. Now, how much would you pay? Wait, don't answer. You also get the lost city of Atlantis, the country of Brazil. 16 hookers, a helicopter. I'll send my sister to have sex with your entire family. Now, how much would you pay? Wait, don't answer. Two channels over, there's a guy teaching you how to have a better memory. Have you seen this guy? You can have a better memory and improve your life. And I'm always going, you know, the only way to improve your life is to have a worse memory and somehow forget all the horrible crap that's happened to you up to now. You know who I would buy a tape from? I'd buy a tape from a guy who's an expert on denial. Put him on. Hi, I'm an expert on denial. Millions have achieved happiness through not dealing with reality. With my tapes called That's My Story and I'm Sticking to It. Screw over everyone you want without an ounce of guilt, because in your mind it never happened in the first place. How much would you expect to pay? Wait, don't answer. Let's say you're embarrassed because you flunked out of college. With my tapes, you never even went to college. Now how much would you pay? Just charge it to your husband's credit card. If he confronts you, deny you made the purchase. Two channels over from there, there are people to help you lose weight. Have you seen these people? Every possible weight loss person is on in the middle of the night. You like a sentimental person, you got Richard Simmons, who for some reason is brought to tears by formerly fat people. He's always, hug me, you fat person. Touch me, be with me. I love you. Touch my shorts, I love you. You've lost 1,700 pounds. You're feeling better about yourself, aren't you, Mary? All right, turn around here. I'm going to show the entire nation a photo of you when you were a fat, disgusting pig and still are on the inside. I know it's embarrassing. Shut up, you hippo. It helps sell my crap. Look at how fat you were before you bought Sweating to the Oldies and Bouncing to the Big Bands and farting to Frank Sinatra and Touch My Shorts, Be With Me. Don't like him? You like a more aggressive, manly type of weight loss person? Susan Powder. Hi, I'm Susan Powder. I've lost 1,648 pounds. And somehow managed to remain totally unattractive. Why not take personal appearance advice from me, Susan Powder, a woman who looks like Ross Perot's lesbian sister. It's not your fault you're overweight. You're a victim. Send me all your money. What kind of is your fault? I was a fat little kid, and after careful research, I figured out, hey, I'm eating too much. It was my own fault. Somebody should be honest. You know who should have a late-night diet plan? Some moron from my old neighborhood in New York who's too stupid to lie. The Joey Falco diet infomercial. Just a regular moron in a T-shirt, 4 a.m. Hey, folks, how you doing? Thanks for tuning in. Hey, my name's Joey Falco. If you're overweight, I got a diet plan. It's worked for millions of people. It's called Stop Eating, You Fat Bastard. Let me show you how it works over here in this chart that I got set up. These are proteins. These are carbohydrates. So stop eating, you fat bastard. Now, people have been writing to me going, how do I know if I'm technically a fat bastard? Here are three ways to tell. When you go to a buffet, do the waitresses put on riot helmets? Do you find yourself winded after combing your hair? When you stand up to pee, you gotta move your chin out of the way. Chances are, you should send away for my tape. It ain't videotape or audio tape. You know what it is? Scotch tape. Take a piece, put it right over your mouth so the ring things don't get in, and watch the pounds melt miraculously away. Hey, try it for 30 days. If it don't work, frig you. You're not getting the money back, all right? Because you lied. You kept eating. You want the money? Try and catch me. Come on, try. See, you can't catch me because you're still a fat bastard and you didn't use the tape. Thanks. Also, late at night, if you need a lawyer, some of your finest lawyers in America are up 4 a.m. doing a TV commercial. And you know this guy is a great lawyer. You know how you can tell? Always has a big stack of law books behind his head. Here's the guy. Hello, I'm Bernard Shapiro of the law firm of Dewey, Beadham & Run. Are you an American between the ages of 3 and 105? Chances are you're entitled to a huge cash settlement. Have you fallen down? Have you been in an auto accident? Have you woken up in a dental chair with your pants around your ankles and your head in the spit sink? You're entitled to millions of dollars. Have you ever been outside your house, had contact with another human being, or used a consumer product? You're entitled to millions of dollars. I'm Bernard Shapiro, and I'll fight for you like I fought for this young woman.
I was standing on the 14th floor of an office building when there was a car accident below. I wasn't even involved in the accident. Bernard Shapiro got me $17 million. My hat's off to you, Mr. Shapiro.
That's right, I'm Bernard Shapiro. And I'll fight for you like I fought for this typical Los Angeles cab driver.
I was driving along in my cab on the 405 freeway. Suddenly, I hit a pothole. The plastic Jesus popped off the dashboard, hit me above the eye, causing a tiny scratch. Bernard Shapiro got me $800 million. Well, my turban is off to you, Bernard Shapiro.
That's right, I'm Bernard Shapiro. And I'll fight for you if you've been injured by your employer, like this young man.
Yeah, I was working in a chemical plant when I began to have a string of suspicious health maladies.
in 1 month, I got heart disease, bone disease, brain disease, water on the knee, water on the floor, water on the couch, pneumonia, omonia, ammonia, the rocking pneumonia and the boogie-woogie blues. I got diarrhea, pyorrhea, gonorrhea, Rhea Perlman, yellow fever, scarlet fever, pink eye, blue balls. I got leprosy, pleurisy, jealousy, misery, envy, athlete's foot fungus with tough actin, tenactin. I got PMS, TMJ, HBO, Nick at Night, Showtime, ESPN, the Discovery Channel, and occasional lower back pain. Bernard Shapiro got me $9 billion. And that's when I bought Bernard Shapiro's law firm. That motherfucker worked for me now. Isn't that right, Bernard? That's right. That man is now the owner of the firm. That's how large a settlement I got him. Call me now, I'll give you a break. I need money. Last week I banged into my desk and sued myself for $100,000. Bernard Shapiro, attorney at law. Thank you. All right. Another really good reason to watch late night TV instead of the daytime TV is they have a lot of disgusting medical products on in the middle of the day. Did yeast infections get to be a big problem just in the last few years? Because I never heard about them before, and suddenly they were dominating the airwaves like the OJ trial. I still don't even know what a yeast infection is. I figured out they have something to do with the number 7, apparently. And the other thing I've noticed is that a lot of good-looking women get them. Because the woman on the commercial is always really beautiful. That's why I stop. I'm flipping around quick. Hey, she's a babe. Who's that? But she's looking right in the camera. No shame. Hello. You know, I've got a yeast infection so revolting that the Atlanta Center for Disease Control is circling my home in a chopper. Hey. Isn't that a little blunt in the middle of the after-school special? I know women have the problems, and they need to know the products that'll help them. I'm just saying, make it a little more humorous.
We're fooling Mrs. Johnson. We're replacing her ordinary yeast infection medicine with a mixture of whole wheat flour and water. Let's watch as Mr. Johnson comes home from a hard day at the office.
Hey, honey, what a day I had today. Hey, is that a Kaiser roll? I thought the house smelled great today. Stay where you are. I'll put on some coffee. Middle of the day. Little kids are home. There's a guy on TV going, "Hello, I'd like to talk to you about an itch so private." Well, it's not so private anymore, itchy butt man. The guy sells Anusol butt itching medicine. I had no idea that butt itch was a medical condition. I mean, I always thought your butt itched if you didn't wash your butt enough. And you don't need Anusol, perhaps, you know, Lysol is what you should be using. But this guy has medical butt itch. And she has yeast. What else is out there that people aren't talking about yet? Hello, are you one of the 15 million men suffering from exploding scrotum syndrome? How many times has your scrotum exploded, causing your testicles to rocket through the office, possibly ruining that important sales presentation? Let's watch this reenactment. Say, Bob, why the long face?
It's this damn exploding scrotum syndrome. One of my nuts bounced right off the chairman's forehead. I'll never get that big account now.
Why'd you try what I use?
Scrote Secure, huh?
That's right. Try Scrote Secure for 30 days, and if it doesn't work, bring your balls to the pharmacy for a full refund.
I'm the pharmacist. Can I help you?
Terribly sorry. You do have the receipt. Going on here? Well, this guy doesn't have the receipt. Oh, for God's sake, give him the $2. Well, you said they always have... Forget what I said. The guy's got his nuts in his hand. Middle of the day, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, I'd like to talk to you about diarrhea. Hey, hey, hey. I don't want to talk to you. Put the hair guy back on. It's always the same thing, right? It's always a guy who gets the diarrhea on the commercial at an inconvenient moment. As if you've ever been in a sit. You know, this would be a great time to get the runs, don't you think, Bob? I mean, the sun's out, we're on the Ferris wheel. What are we waiting for? I mean, when would you want that? But that's always the commercial. The guy gets the diarrhea at a bad time. It's always a commercial like, good luck on the scaffold, Jim. I'll sure need it with his diarrhea, John. When would you want that romantic situation, folks? That'd be a good time. You know, honey, the kids are away. We got both bathrooms to ourselves, huh? I'm thinking we chill this bottle of Mexican water I've been saving. You put that shrimp salad under the sun lamp for 8-9 hours. We'll slap on some deep ends and see if we... You know, there really are two good times to get diarrhea. When you're behind and you're reading and when your cellmate makes his move. Those are the only two times. But you never get a break like that when you need it. Now let's pause for something you hardly ever hear. Yee-haw! That was one great bar mitzvah. You almost never hear that. And now, the worst movie of all time, Jaws 4, The Revenge. Ever see that movie? A movie so bad that even if you didn't have a brain, you wouldn't believe the plot. That's how bad it was. It was like, even if you didn't have a brain, let's say you were sitting on your bed, a bucket of popcorn, and a spinal cord. That's all you have. Even your spinal cord would go, hey, 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 hey. I'm not a brain or anything, but this is a stupid movie. You ever see a movie so bad that it just slaps you in the face with how bad it is every 2 minutes? You're going, maybe this movie isn't that bad. I'm not wasting my life. And the movie's going, oh, yes, you are. Just slapping you right in the face. Oh, it's just as bad as you think it is. Look at you at 4:30 in the morning sitting there with one sock watching a movie about a shark who kills only one family out of an entire ocean full of perfectly edible people. And you won't turn it off because you're thinking it's bound to get better. That's why you're watching. You think it can't be this bad. It's something will happen. The mother in the family has three people in her family killed by a shark in about a week. So she comes up with a plan. She figures, well, a shark is obviously after our family. It's only one thing to do, pack up, we're leaving town. And you're sitting there eating popcorn going, leaving town? Isn't that a pretty severe diversionary maneuver to avoid a fish? I mean, wouldn't an apartment building protect you from the average? I mean, even if he's a really ambitious type of a shark, by the time he gets out of the water, rents a car, comes to your place, heads up in the elevator, you'd most likely smell fish and split out the back door. No, the mother is leaving town. So you're going, well, why doesn't the mother just knock on the water? Wouldn't that make more sense? And they go, well, yes, ordinarily it would. But this is a stupid movie, and if we did that, the movie would be over now. So then in order to get away from the shark, anybody know where she goes? The Bahamas, yes. Other people with no actual lives at 4 a.m. Thanks. She goes to the Bahamas. Ideal place to avoid a fish. Who would expect one in, oh, the ocean? So you're sitting in front of the TV going, the Bahamas? Why doesn't her mother go to Canada if she's serious? I mean, because it's rare that you would be on a dog sled and here behind you. Damn it, he's persistent. Come on, boys. So you go, why is she going to the Bahamas? So then, I'm not making any of this plot up. So then the mother gets on a jet plane in New York City, flies to the Bahamas 600 miles an hour. When she gets there, the shark is there. A remarkable achievement. Not only has he uncovered their travel plans, but he has outrun a jet aircraft to the Caribbean. And that's when you start throwing popcorn. Oh, get the hell out of here. I may be an idiot, but that's a shark. Wouldn't a jet be faster than a shark? And they go, ordinarily, yeah, it would. But in this movie, shark is the fastest form of transportation available. If you're going to London from New York, tear up the Concorde tickets, hop a flounder. But I do love, you know, I'm a nature lover, always have been. I love those shows. Dun, 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 dun. You know those shows? Dun, 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 dun.
So join us, won't you, for another National Geographic episode. Today we track the fastest animals in the forest. The cheetah, the gazelle, and the fastest of all, a gerbil running from Harvey Fierstein. Come back here, you little bastard. You know you want it. Achieving speeds of up to 300 miles an hour. Come back here, you're wrong. Come on, I put in a wheel. Just for you.
It's a cheap joke, but it's funny, you got to admit. A 300-mile-an-hour gerbil is funny, I'm sorry. No getting around it.
And now let us join Jacques Cousteau for another episode where no one seems to notice that he's remaining safely on deck while everyone else is getting their ass bit off by this week's giant ocean beast. Every week, here's Jacques. The Calypso pulled up into an unbelievably dangerous area. Through the binoculars, I saw the giant, electrified, honey-toed, exploding, bad-smelling, saber-toothed, lesbian, bulimic squid. Someone had to dive down 3,000 feet in the mini-sub and poke it in the ass with a turkey baster. I'll be damned if I was going down there at my age. I didn't get to be 178 messing with a giant squid. So when my son wasn't looking, I kicked him in the water, gunned the engine, and took off like a bat out of hell. Be with us next week when my son will give an enema to the giant sperm whale. And the week after when he will be wrapped in Canadian bacon and nailed to the bottom of the boat as we attempt to locate the great white shark. Thanks.
So I'm out last night at a famous restaurant. I don't know if I can mention the name on the album. It might not be nice. It rhymes with Fred Robster. And it's a great place to go. Just don't sit next to the tank where they keep the lobsters. Very depressing. Lobsters always have that look of, any word from the governor? That's why you have to have like 4 or 5 drinks and then order. Because once you're drunk, you don't care who you send to their death in a boiling pot. Now you're drunk and they're going, can we help you? And you got that Emperor of Rome attitude. Yes. Bring me the brown one. He amuses me. The impertinent one on the right. Seize him! Have him boiled immediately. Do you like a beverage? Wine! Bring me wine! Will there be anything else? Yes, find out why all the Romans in the movies have English accents. Quickly! So sad. They're like the only... They had a sign up, the lobsters were flown in. How cruel is that? Think about that. Let's say you're a lobster, right? You've never been on an airplane before. A fair assumption. What else can you think but you've won the lobster sweepstakes? You're on a plane. Magazine, belt around the tail. Not bad. Not only am I getting a free trip, I'm earning valuable frequent lobster miles. Next thing you know, you're locked in a tank. Both your hands are tied. Everybody in the place is wearing a bib with your picture on the front of it. I want to talk to my travel agent right away. What happened to the friendly skies, huh? And they're one of the only animals that have to put up with being alive in the restaurant. If you go to a steakhouse, folks, no cow tank. You know,
don't see him bring a live cow. What do you think of this one, buddy? This is the best cow we got. With a baked potato, I don't think you go wrong. Say the word, I got a gun. I'll blast the crap out of him right here. This is the best cow. Hey, put your head up. The hell's wrong with you? It's a customer. You want this job or don't you? Right, and there's the cow over there. Why don't you have a lobster? Why don't you have a lobster? And the lobster's going, why don't you mind your freaking business? The man has made his dinner selection, fat boy. Sir, if I may say so, a fine choice it was tonight. Now, thanks. He's the best cow we got. We have any Southerners in the audience tonight? Any people in the South? Well, I just love the South. Whenever I'm not in the North, the East, or the West, that's where I am. Little towns in the South. Anybody know what a bagel is? And there's a guy, it's a dog, isn't it? And he's always like, But my favorite South is the old South, the kind of South where they always have like a big Colonel Sanders looking guy on a plantation. Talking all kinds of proud Southern crap. Welcome, I'd like you to meet my son Beauregard, his brother the dentist Floregard, bad smelling sister with the body odor right guard, and who's that? Grandmother paying no mind, that's disregard over there. They always have a woman, a really coquettish, pretty Southern belle type woman with a fan. I do declare, Colonel, it is hot on the poach today. I always wanted to be a little fly on the wall on an old plantation and hear how they really talked. Because let's be honest, when the door closes and everybody's drinking all their mint juleps, nobody is all that polite all day. You know that Colonel was talking all kinds of crap when he was alone with that Miss Polly. Well, Miss Polly, it being Sunday and services being over and us being alone here on the plantation, I think it's only fitting and proper that I bend you over this table made of fine mahogany wood indigenous to this part of the South and ram this butter churn so far up your sphincter that your eyes light up like Atlanta on fire. What say you, Miss Polly?
Why, Colonel, if I didn't know better, I'd say you were flirting with me.
You shame me with such talk. I'm a gentleman of the First Order. My first order is that you remove that clothing you're wearing so I can tie you to this here four-poster bed made of fine redwood indigenous to this part of the country so as I can let these circus midges cover you with that vegetable oil whilst I hook this trolley up to the ceiling and lower myself down on your face singing Camptown Races.
I suppose it would be the neighborly thing to do.
How many women in the audience like football plug? Wow, all right, a lot. Okay, how many guys in the crowd like little crystal elephants about that size? Not as many? Okay, here's my point. Thing is... football's good because they always have announcers making millions and millions of dollars to analyze the action.
They always have these headsets on that look like this.
Boy, look at that player, Dave. Looks like his lungs squirted right out of his helmet and bounced off a hot dog vendor. You're our highly paid million-dollar analyst. What do you make of that? And the other guy goes, that's gotta hurt there, Tom. Thank you, Captain Obvious. No wonder you're getting $8 million an hour. Hey, what do you think will happen in the second half? I think they're gonna try to get some points right away there. Really? So you don't think they'll try to lose the game on purpose then? No, they'll try and, well, shut up. Why is the guy talking so much? All he has to say is, see that? So did I. Back to you, Bob. Yeah. Even the referee in football has his own microphone so he can humiliate the football players when they break a rule. It's so cruel. They stop the entire game so the referee can press a button on his belt, activate a giant sound system, point the guy out on television just to embarrass him in front of his mom and everybody else that might be watching. They stopped the whole game. Here's the ref. The reason we stopped, the reason we're all hanging around out here in the snow not doing anything right now is because some people don't seem to know the rules. Isn't that right? Number 71. I hope your mother's watching.
Can't blame the referee, though. It's human nature. Let's say you were a football ref in the NFL. An ordinary guy, 65 or 70 years old. You're not making the big millions of bucks like the football players, but you got one thing they don't have, a button right on the belt. And all you got to do is click it on, and for the first time in your whole boring life, the entire nation is hanging on every word that comes out of your mouth. If I was him, I'd stop the game every 5 minutes just to talk about my own personal problems. Wouldn't you, if you were him, I'd be going, there was no penalty. This has nothing to do with the game, the players, or the National Football League. I need to talk. I can't keep this up anymore. I feel like a fraud out here. Sure, I'm the ref, but who am I to judge these players? I mean, look at some of the choices I've made in my own life, for God's sake. 62 years old and I'm a freaking referee. I gotta lie down. I gotta tell you something. I'll be honest, lots of times when I'm out here, I'm not even thinking about football. My wife's getting fat as a mobile home. I love my kids, but if I had to do it again, who, I'd wear a condom. Just all goes by so fast in life, doesn't it? 1 minute you're in high school, the next minute you're watching your prostate like a hawk. Anybody who says these are the golden years can kiss my wrinkled butt, Buster. I got hair growing out of my ears, for God's sake. I got cataracts the size of ashtrays. I got to pee every 5 minutes. I walk into a room and I go, what the hell did I come in this room for anyway? Got that goddamn arthritis in my shoulder. I wake up in the morning, takes me a half an hour just to find my eyeglasses, just so I can look for my teeth to tell my wife to find my hair. I don't know, maybe I'm just blowing smoke. You know what's really bothering me? I just kind of feel like I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. I mean it. Did you ever dress up in your wife's panties when nobody's home? Boy, you give me a pair of thong panties and some perfume, I am one happy ref. The hell with football. Well, thanks for listening. You better get back to the game now. First down.
All right, there you go. Thanks. Hey, ref. Boy.
There's the announcers. Boy, look at that ref coming out of the closet on national television. That's gotta hurt, Bob. He's playing with pain out there, that ref. Did you go to church today, anybody? Good, religious crowd. Okay, cool. I used to go. My mom used to bring me back in Brooklyn to a church. Not a great one. You know, they have St. John the Divine and St. Mary the Immaculate. And, you know, we went to St. Phil the Reliable. He's not a miracle worker, but he's there, that St. Phil. It was great, man. The priest is like a rock and roll star, in a way. He's got a big crowd like a rock and roll star. Wild outfit with a crucifix like a rock and roll star. Altar boys singing back up. He's drinking, he's singing. Smoke's coming out from behind the guy. He closes up the mass. I'm Father Murphy. God bless you. See you next Sunday. Of course, he doesn't do that because he's a priest. He's not allowed to do a lot. He just can stand in one spot. And he has to basically work with the same material every week his whole life. He's frustrated. That's why every priest has the same voice, very clipped. Just caught my privates in a car door. Borderline Kermit the Frog priest delivery of, Lord! Oh, Lord! Lord, 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 Lord! As I must do each week, let me repeat things over and over so as to fill up an entire hour. Oh, Lord, you are holy, 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 holy. Oh, whoa, whoa, are you holy? I'd be in the back of the church. What are you, Rain Man, Padre? Pick it up. Kickoff is in 10 minutes. Lord, as I must do each week, let me use funny-sounding church words, causing small, bored children to laugh so that their mothers will smote them in the side of the face with a pocketbook. Lord, let us read from the epistle. Okay, you're 9 years old. And you hear the word epistle automatically. Piss! He said piss! Did you hear that? He said piss, Bob! Stop hitting me, Mom! Lord! You're 9 years old, you're bored, and you hear this word, Hosanna, automatically. Oh, Hosanna, don't you cry. Stop smoting me, Mom, I'm bored. Lord, let me drag this out as long as I can. Let us read from the Epistle of the Apostle, Romans 7, Leviticus 3, paragraph 9, section 8, 25 or 6 to 4. Chicago 7, St. Louis 3, bottom of the 8th, runners at the corners. They're going for the right-handed reliever, even though he hasn't done well in this ballpark. Lord, let us thank you without question for the questionable things you have pulled upon us. For you alone have commanded that we stay sexually faithful for a lifetime and given us a body that makes us horny every 17 seconds. Thank you, Lord. You are truly a humorist. For you came unto Abraham and said, Abraham, do you believe in me? And Abraham said, yes. And you said, well, in that case, go in the next room, get a knife, kill your own kid. Do it now. And Abraham looked upon the face of God and said, well, let me see if I got this. Could I not merely punch the lad to show my devotion? For I have just spent a fortune on dental work, and it seems such a waste to ice the little pitcher at this juncture, Almighty One. Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? For if I am ever to have a throwdown with that cute little altar boy, I am going to need better wheels. Lord, let us move the congregation into various positions for no reason whatsoever. Let us stand. Let us sit. Let us stand back up. Let us do squat thrusts. Let us high-five the guy next to us. Let us do the Lombada, the forbidden dance. Let us put our two knees close up tight. Let us swing them to the left and swing them to the right. Let us do the hokey pokey. Lord! I know, I'm going to hell, right? That's what you think? But I'm not. Because I'm not going to hell because the Lord knew I was going to do that bit. That's the way I look at it. I don't care who your Lord is, you can't have a Lord saying, I was not aware of that. That is fascinating. Any Lord can't be going, you're kidding. Here I am, the Lord, and I don't know what the hell is going on. So somebody said, are you married? I go, no. Not putting it down, it's just a tough decision in life. Married or single? It's like when the doctor goes, well, what'll it be? Ointment or suppository? You have to compare the disadvantages of each. Marriage or not. You got to say to yourself, hey, do I want to be a single guy and run around in bars with a bunch of different morons? Or do I want to be married with a family and stay home with the same exact group of morons? Do I want to go out every night talking about a bunch of stuff I'm not really interested in just to see if I can get some sex out of it? Or do I want to be married talking about a bunch of stuff I've heard before just to see if I get some sex out of it? Do I want to spend a lot of nights sneaking off to the bathroom with a dirty magazine? Or do I want to be single? These are the choices we face. They're not easy. Let us pray we have the wisdom. I'll tell you one advantage of being married. One advantage of being married is that the food is much better. There's always a wise guy going, you know, no, man, it does not really. Yes, it is. I have been single a long time, and the food, if you're married, cannot be as bad as the stuff I'm eating. I have bugs in the house going, we're going to order in. Would you mind not dropping any more of your food on the floor? It's just making it hard to walk. None of us are eating it. We may be bugs, but we have to take decent care of ourselves. You know why I don't know how to cook? There are no cooking shows on television for people who don't know how to cook. Just go with me on this. The average cooking show is for people who already really know what they're doing. There's always some guy with an apron going, hello and welcome to cooking that has nothing to do with your actual life. Today we're going to make a massively complicated dish using ingredients you don't have, utensils you can't afford, in a kitchen bigger than your whole bloody apartment. What is that all about? And I'm looking at the guy going, wow, this guy has more bowls than I have napkins. He's intimidating. You're going to teach a guy how to cook, you got to start him off slow, you know, get a real, you know, regular moron type of cooking show host. Just some idiot who doesn't have an apron. Just a regular guy. Bill the Belching Gourmet. Put him on. Just a regular guy who comes on TV in his underwear. And not just any underwear, the really repulsive ones that say Home of the Whopper on the front. A cooking show for anybody who ever tried to make tuna fish on toast and wound up in the burn unit with mayonnaise in their hair. A cooking show for anybody who ever ran out of dishwashing powder and thought, let's put in shampoo, Beavis. A cooking show for anybody who ever peed in the sink while talking on the telephone. Yes. That's my kind of show, Buster. And now here's Bill, the Belching Gourmet. Good evening. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Bill, the Belching Gourmet. Tonight on our show, I'd like to make a nice beef Wellington stuffed with truffles for you. And I'd like to be in a hot tub with Cindy Crawford naked, but let's be freaking realistic. What I'm really going to make is this stuff here, the poor man's pasta, Kraft macaroni and cheese. Still 38 cents a metric ton. All we got to do is pop it here in a microwave and set it on cardiac arrest. While we take a look at today's beverage in the spotlight, Clamato. Tomato juice and clam juice mixed together and you drink it. And notice that I say, you drink it. When's the last time you had some tomato juice and thought, boy, that needs fish. Put some fish in there. How could you bring that out of a plane? Swizzle a mackerel around in there, for God's sake. Would you like some Clamato? Thanks, I just had a big glass of flounder apple, you sick psycho. Well, while we're waiting on that, I see that some mail has just poured in from a guy who needs culinary advice. Here he says, Dear Bill, the other day my wife and I got into an argument over the salad forks. She says they go on the right, and I say they go on the left. So here's my question. Do you think the Steelers have a chance at the Super Bowl? And speaking of mysteries, why does Diet Coke only have one calorie? If they get all the other calories out, why can't they get that last little punk out of there? I mean, how do they know it's even in there? Maybe in a six-pack, one can got all six of them. Maybe there's millions of cans with no calories, but one big, fat, killer can bouncing all over the place. Hey, speaking of big, fat, killer cans, I was watching that Rush Limbaugh show a couple weeks ago. And he says the United States government allows a certain amount of rat droppings into a hot dog that they call an acceptable amount. Boy, if I had to describe my reaction in one word, that word would be, what the fuck? I don't think any amount of rat droppings is acceptable in my hot dog. But there's the government for you. You own 10 bucks on your taxes, you're a criminal. But if a mouse squats in your wiener, that's not a particular cause for alarm. Anyways, before I go off on a tangent, here's my question. Why do they say you gotta wait an hour after you eat to go swimming? The other day I fed my fish, and they went swimming right after. But I know what you're thinking, fish aren't that smart. For example, I once caught a fish by dangling a worm on a hook, and the worm doesn't even live in the ocean. Shouldn't he have been suspicious when he seen it? I mean, I'm not saying I'm a genius either, but if I dive into a swimming pool and there's, you know, a sausage on the drain, I don't care how hungry I am. I'm gonna ask a question or two before I chow down. Like, how did it get there? Is there rat droppings in it? Why, is there a hook in it? And where's the mustard? Hey, hold on, Bill. My wife's yelling about something in the other room. How do you like that? It's a boy, as I was saying. I'm worried about my health. And what is this stuff called? I can't believe it's not butter. Well, then what the hell is it? You could call anything in a whole supermarket, I can't believe it's not butter if you're stupid enough. And you can look at the lawn furniture. Can't believe it's not butter. It's lawn furniture. I know, I was expecting butter. I can't believe you're not locked up, you moron. I mean, I'm worried about my health, and I've noticed that the more disgusting a food tastes when you eat it, the more likely it is to be really good for you. And then I noticed that my dog is always licking his own butt. So does he know something that I don't know? Because he's got a real shiny coat, and I'm losing all my hair. I know it sounds disgusting, but he always has that look of, I can't believe it's not butter. Signed, confused. Well, thank you very much for that letter. Until tomorrow. Thanks. Thank you. Anybody in our audience broken up? Anybody break up recently? Because if you break up, you know, you can't listen to most things on the radio for about 8 or 9 years. Because they have all these stations that are designed to get people who broke up to kill themselves. Every city in America has one station like this. You're listening to the All Love Song Station. A station so dedicated to getting lonely people to kill themselves that we play no rock, no jazz. Nothing but stick your head in the oven and turn the gas up full. Love songs. And now, for everybody who just broke up, here's a song you'll enjoy called You'll Be Alone the Rest of Your Life. From the CD, you'll die in a puddle of your own urine in a welfare hospital. So get out those suicide implements and start drinking heavily as we play the most depressing love songs, 87 in a row, a whole Kevorkian star sweep. And you're at the medicine chest getting out the pills. How can I just let you walk away? You're getting the pills. That you, she's out of my life. You got a knife out. Unforgettable. Get my needle in every way. And forevermore. That's how. So the point I'm trying to make is it's hard enough to be unhappy in the world without the radio depressing you. If you break up, you have to find goofy music. Not good, just stupid. I recommend the Ethel Merman Christmas Ballad CD. Very pleasant, silent night! Sing it, Ethel! Anything by Christopher Cross. Little chubby guy, funny voice, always amusing. Once in your life, finer. Always sounds like he's driving by, the guy. Mimi, thank you, Chris. Music, but no, they have to play nothing but love songs. And now here's a song dedicated to all you guys who ever had your woman accuse you of a complicated plot that not only didn't you do it, you weren't even mentally capable of thinking it up. Hey, if you're listening in the car, sit back, relax, close the garage door good and snug, open wide and suck the brown wind of doom. You need happy music, go see John Denver in concert. Go see John Denver, because he's going to snap soon, and you're going to want to be at that performance. Come on, the guy's been drinking for 30 years. He can't keep up that act forever. Sooner or later, John Denver's going to come out there, mohawk, no shirt, nipple rings, tattoos. Everybody in the crowd, what the hell's wrong with John? He don't look like you. Let me rip out your eyeballs. Let me chainsaw your sister. Let me ice pick your eardrums. Let me blow torch your butt. Let me kill your whole family. Let me fart on your breakfast. Let me fart on your breakfast. Let's talk about that for just a second before we move on. Ladies and gentlemen, I admit to you that let me fart on your breakfast is a joke for an 8-year-old kid. I also have to admit, the first day I said it, I was laughing the rest of the month. And I was going, why is farting on breakfast so funny to me? You know why? Because it's so unlikely. It is so out of the realm that anybody will specifically break wind on your AM meal that it's hilarious. That you would ever be at the IHOP 6:30 in the morning and some guy, no motive, doesn't want money, you'll never see him again. Just makes a beeline for your plate and is more where that came from, Buster, and just splits is a Kodak moment of epic proportion. Would you not be sitting there in the middle of your breakfast? Well, anyway, honey, I... What? What?
what just happened? Well, I'm sure it was an accident, Tom. Don't get excited. Accident? What are you, nuts? He went right for the dish. The hell am I paying taxes for if a man's waffles aren't safe from a maniac like that? Excuse me, you're the manager. That nut just farted on my waffles.
I'm terribly sorry. Did he touch them?
What the hell does that have to do with it?
We've been getting quite a few complaints about him, but I'm afraid unless he touched them, it's technically not against the law. We're just as frustrated as you. We're trying to get the law changed. So there's nothing I can do. I have no recourse. Look at him over there mocking me. There's the guy. There ain't nothing you can do. Call a cop, I'll fart on his donuts. Don't get me mad, I'll do it again. Waffle farting is not illegal. I am within my rights. How many of you folks are wearing a condom right now? Most of you? You have to wear a condom all the time. Even if you're not having sex, you can't be too careful. You never know. There could be a car accident. A woman could smash through the windshield of the car, arc through the downtown area, just when you don't expect it. Like a caramel apple. I've seen it happen. I know what you're thinking. It won't happen to you. Happened to a friend of mine. Healthy guy walking along, having a carrot. Car accident behind him. What's that? Eh, it's probably nothing. What are the odds of that, Dave? All right, pull her off. Hey, you know what? Put her back on for just a second. All right, now take her back off. And put her back on again. The key question for a guy is, do you mind wearing condoms? That's what a friend of mine asked me, this female friend I have. She's one of my buddies. We're not dating or nothing, so we're just chatting. And she goes, do you mind wearing a condom? How do guys feel about it? Do they mind? And I'm thinking, well, yeah, but, you know, I don't want to tell her that. You don't want to sound like you're the type of guy that goes around whining about every little thing, right? So she goes, do you mind wearing a condom? I'm lying with a drink. Mind? Ha, ha, ha. Clink contraire. I prefer them. Sometimes I wear 6, 12, 15 condoms at a time. Why would I mind? There's no difference in the sensation, unless you count the total lack of any. I wish I had one on right now, in fact. If only I had a piece of disgusting rubber just strangling the base of my tallywhacker with enough force to cause my eyes to fly out on springs like somebody in a Warner Brothers cartoon and ripping out pubic hair in 8 different locations. Woof, what a night. I love a tight, rippy feeling in the genital area. It relaxes me. In fact, that's how I relax after a hard day. Get naked, get in my chair, put on a fez, and get out a wrench. Start tightening that puppy right around the base of the old Johnson till I get a good blue bulbous thing that looks like a Fahrenheit thermometer going. Then I like to get out some pliers and start yanking out pubic hair in clumps. And I'll be a monkey's uncle if I'm not sleeping like a baby in 5 minutes from now. Why would I mind? Don't you see, it's not myself I care about. It's those poor little spermy men. One chance in their boring little spermy lives. Come on, men, we're gonna make a baby. Quick, that way. Oh, jeez. Go back, it's a trap! The whole area is sealed off. Oh, man. Will you quit pushing, moron? You always were an idiot. We're not getting out of here, don't you get it? Oh, really? Well, go ahead, then. No kidding! Oh, this sucks. Everything happens to me. I could have been somebody. Here, hey, listen, I got 24-hour porno on a satellite, right? So I don't come out of my house for too many reasons. Right? This is it. 24-hour uncut porno movies. I tried to get a better deal, but they said, no, Rich, 24 hours is it. That's all we have. We're not ripping you off. It's 24, that's all. You can't get another hour. You gotta love the pornos. I gotta go home soon because one is starting and I don't want to miss the beginning. Because if you miss the beginning of a dirty flick, you can't follow the rest of the movie.
as if there was any difference, and they're all the same. Every porno movie should be called Stuff That Never Happens to You. Starring people getting a lot more action than you. Every guy that watches the dirty movies is sitting there going, this is great, this is hot, this is never gonna happen in my life. Why can't my life be like a dirty movie now and then? Next thing you know, they're all depressed, cradling the porno tape in the backyard. Somewhere over the rainbow, people get sex in the middle of the day for no apparent reason. If a fat, ugly guy can get three women in a hot tub, why, oh, why can't I? Someday I wish upon a star. Then you get a good look at the guy in the dirty movie and you go, aha, no wonder this isn't happening to me. This guy has a member big in some of the major household appliances. Whereas you could have sex with a Cheerio without breaking it. That's right. He's a big man. A man with a giant member. Whose job is to have sex with a bunch of beautiful women and then get paid. Are you ever late for this job? He's on time every day. He's hopping to work like this. Hi-ho, hi-ho. It's off to work I go. Ah, there's the studio double doors. I'll get them. Morning, everybody. How the hell are you? Coffee, let's get right to it. This is one of the great... Excuse me. I'm sorry. I seem to be bashing into the camera equipment with my rod of disaster. And there's the announcer. Boy, that's gotta hurt, Bob. Look at that guy smashing his peen into the camera. I don't think we'll see him in the second half. That's why there's all these sexual harassment suits today, you know that? Because guys watch the porno movies and get a warped view of reality. Because if you watch enough dirty movies, you can only come to the conclusion, hey, women get really horny in the Xerox room. Next thing you know, there's a guy in a real-life office with a real-life woman. She's at the Xerox machine. He pops up. Hi, honey, I've got a huge boner. What? I say the machine's out of toner. I'm going to go back to my office now. And the next thing you know, hello, I'm Bernard Shapiro. Has someone mentioned an inappropriate boner to you in the office? Men love oral sex because it combines the two activities that the average guy never gets tired of. One, sex. Two, not moving at all. The big two. They can't believe it's happening at the same time. They're sitting there with a remote control and a sandwich going, this is the big two. Not only am I having sex, I don't even have to move. The Super Bowl was on, I could die right now. Having an orgasm almost kills the average guy over 30. So if they have to move around a lot, plus have one, it's risky from a cardiac standpoint. Because the orgasm alone almost kills them. And if you don't believe me, get a good look at them at the point of maximum joy. They don't look too sharp, do they? They got that just cross the tape at the Boston Marathon look. You know when the guy crosses the tape like, ah, Gatorade splashing, knees buckling, ain't gonna be no rematch look. If you hook the guy up to a machine making love, he'd look like this, look.
I'm in a diabetic coma.
Better get up. I'm writing a big check out of your bank account.
That's all right.
I'm putting fresh cut flowers in your butt crack.
Whatever.
Well, if you don't do it, I'm going to go have sex with our neighbor next door.
Hey.
Get the neighbor at the barbecue back while you're over there, will you? You guys had that for a month. That's not fair. I loan him something and I have to beg for it back. What is he thinking?
You ever see these big surveys they do? We have done a survey of 20 billion American sexual habits. Who's going to tell the truth?
Some guy shows up at your house 10 in the morning with a clipboard. You don't know who he is. He knocks on the door. Ding, ding, ding. You open the door. Yeah, what? I'm sleeping. Morning. You masturbate? What? It's pretty rough talk for a Jehovah's Witness, isn't it? I was just finishing up when you walked in. Shake. Hey, come back here. We know the truth. 90% of all guys masturbate. The other 10%, no arms. Prove it. Right. 60% of all the women do it. And the other 40% expect you to believe it takes that long to take a bath. So, let's be honest. Be proud of your masturbational activities. It's what separates us from the beast. Man is the only one that goes around choking the chicken all day. You never see that? So join us as we track the jerking off giraffes of the Serengeti. So be proud of it. People always brag about their sex lives. Why shouldn't you brag about your masturbating life? They're going on and on, me and her, this and that. You go, hey, will you shut up for a change and listen to one of my anecdotes? All right, gather around, boys. I got a story for you. All right, I get home Tuesday and I'm alone, right? I know. I didn't think anything was going to happen either. Well, the next thing you know, I shut the lights. Boom! I'm all over myself like a cheap suit, Buster. Upstairs, downstairs, I am the best I ever had. But nobody's going to tell the truth. Let's do a survey right here. How many women in the audience stand up and applaud if you own one of them there neck massagers? See? None. That's the usual results of my survey. Based on my findings, one woman in the Netherlands bought every vibrator in the world. And you know that's got to be a lie, right? Because women are smart people who sometimes can have multiple orgasms like they're nothing. Some women are lucky. Orgasm. Really? There's another one. How do you like that? They're all over the place. I read in a book that there's a woman or two that could have an orgasm by accident. That's how good they are. They could just be walking down a street and hit the thing just the right way and suddenly... Ooh. I'm fine, officer. Just an orgasm. I'm fine. So why wouldn't you get a neck massager? The husband's sleeping? The hell with them. Sneak down to the secret vibrator closet. There they are, a whole wine rack full of them. Get the big one out. Oh. Start them up. My opinion, anyway. Because when you think about it, that's the only kind of sex you could have where nothing can go wrong. In real life, it's always a chance of being embarrassed there in the boudoir. Unless it's a dirty movie, and then nothing goes wrong. They have anal sex in the X-rated movies like it's no big deal. I don't know what goes on in your personal lives. I always thought this anal sex maneuver was pretty complicated for the average young lady to do. For the women in the dirty movies, it's nothing. To them, it's like a form of polite greeting. Sort of an expected pleasantry whenever they meet a guy. Hi, what'd you say your name was, Bob? Yeah. Oh, sure, slam it up my ass, Bob. By all means. I wouldn't dream of not having you slam it 6-8 inches up my ass. After all, it was I who invited you. And I'm always going, wow, that's amazing. Because I have to confess to you, I never even did that in my life. I tried it twice in college and almost did it, but at the last second, the woman turned into Elvis. She did. She turned into Elvis. She was like, okay, I'll do it. Ready? I'm ready. On three. I'm not afraid. 1, 2, 3, and... Oh, thank you very much. That'll be enough of that. Thank you. I don't think that's going to work out for me. You're nothing but a hound dog back there. You guys have been a great audience. Thanks for staying so late.